Hey, folks, this is Cameron. Hey, listen, before we get into the show, I just want to give something of mine a plug. You know, far be it from me to plug my own stuff, but for those of you who don't know, haven't seen it on Facebook, I'm nearly finished a book that I've been working on for quite a few years with my friend Tony Kynaston. It's called The Psychopath Economy, Why the World Has Gone Fucking Crazy and What You Can Do About It. And what I've done is I've put the first chapter or two up as a preview on my website, CameronRiley.com. What I'd like you to do, if you're so inclined, is to go and download the preview of it as a PDF or as an ebook. Have a read, then go back to this link and of my website and just answer a few questions on a survey. What I'd love to do is get a few hundred survey responses, which I can then take to publishers and say, hey, listen, these people think this is worth reading, and if you do, and maybe they should publish it. So the link to get this is CameronRiley.com. That's R-E-I-L-L-Y, if you don't know how to spell my name. CameronRiley.com/preview. And you'll see a link to the survey and to the book downloads. So do me a favor, check that out, and let me know what you think and if you want to read the rest of it. And we'll probably launch the actual finished book itself sometime in the next few months. On with the show.
Send messages to Rome saying that Augustus is dead. And that for the time being, at least, the command of the Roman Empire devolves upon me.
Tiberius, are you trying to deny me any part in the governing of this empire?
Yes, Mother.
Welcome back to The Life of Tiberius Caesar, episode 9. Neff. How are you? How's your cricket situation there, Papa Ben?
Crickets for right now are neutralized. I'm feeling like I'm the master of my domain for as long as it lasts.
Until Angelo comes back. On our last episode, we talked about a conspiracy theory.
Barely
by a slightly mentally deficient man, Libo.
Right.
Wasn't the only one that Thibault was dealing with at the time. There was another one, sort of, a guy called Clemens. Now, we've seen another guy called Clemens in this Thibault series. There was a Clemens going back a few episodes ago who was like one of the generals of the one of the rebellious troops that Germanicus had to deal with, but I don't think it was the same guy.
No. And just keep in mind that this is still the year 16, so while Germanicus is up in Germania fighting, his men are dying, he's going through hell, these are the kind of things that Tiberius is dealing with. Not that it's not serious, but it certainly isn't on the same level as fighting Germans. So still in the year of 16, when Clemens, a slave of Agrippa Postumus, hears that Augustus is dead, and because he's a good slave, he's a loyal slave, he is going to rush to his master in exile to save his life. Good for him.
If he was a good slave, shouldn't he have been in exile with his master?
I didn't say great. I didn't say great slave. I said good slave. A great slave would have been there the entire time. He's a pretty good slave, but not a great one.
So hard to find great slaves, I tell you.
It really is.
That'll stick with you in your exile. So Clemens rushed to Agrippa, to try and help him escape.
Right.
Apparently, according to Tacitus, I think, he was going to help Agrippa escape and join up with the German armies.
Yeah, he was thinking he'd get help from Germanicus and Agrippina. I don't know what that was based on. Maybe it was wishful thinking or he assumed or whatever. Maybe he thought the Roman world would, as it had done so many times before when someone dies, break into two or more camps, civil war, as we've seen. I mean, that's certainly something that people should be well familiar with, but maybe he was thinking he could get his master could get a decent break from these two up north.
Well, Agrippina was his sister, so
yeah,
you probably figured it's a good chance that they had joined forces. None of them liked Tiberius, and the feeling may have been mutual. But, although, as Lindsay Powell pointed out, Tacitus seems to hate Tiberius, and he's anti-Tiberius. But so we have to take that with a little bit of grain of salt.
Anyway. Should a slave be making these monumental decisions? I'm going to go help him escape. We're going to go up to Germanicus. It might start a civil war, but I feel that this is the right thing for my master.
Well, maybe Agrippa Postumus, and he had planned this in advance. Maybe Agrippa had said to him, listen, you are a great slave, despite what Ray says. You're a great slave. You're here with me in exile.
But I want you to go over there. Right.
But I tell you what I need you to do is I'm running out of silk underwear. So if you could go and get me, I hear Tiberius has banned it throughout the empire for men.
So you're going to have to go far.
But I'm in exile. I don't think it applies to me. So
that's true. Oh, brilliant.
Go get me some silk underwear and bring it back. And by the way, if the opportunity comes, if Augustus dies... I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to break out of here and go and claim my throne, my rightful throne. Anyway, so Clemens, unfortunately, because he was a slave, didn't have access. Uber.
Right.
Yeah, he couldn't get Uber X. he had to catch a slow-moving merchant ship.
Oh.
And by the time he got to... Planacea,
right?
Where Agrippa was in exile, he was dead.
Yeah, and I think by this time, or at least soon after, might be a pile of ashes. So whoever gave the order, Augustus or Tiberius, beat Clemens there, and we all know what happened to Agrippa.
Yeah. Did you give the order? Who gave the order? I have that somewhere.
It doesn't matter. Now he's a pile of ashes. Yeah. And Clemens doing the best he can because he is a great slave. He steals the ashes. It's not the same thing as rescuing me, but it's a close second.
And what did he do with the ashes, Ray?
Well, from what please don't tell me he snorted them or did something weird or shoved them up his ass. No, I don't know what he did with the ashes. I just know that he laid low for a while. Tell me what he did with the ashes.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the Code Red?
I did the job.
Did you order the Code Red?
You're goddamn right I did.
I'd like to strike that from the record, Your Honor. My client's obviously...
I'd like to claim the status of a hostile witness. Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah. And of course, there's a recording of when Tom Cruise put Tiberius on the stand and asked him if he gave the order to kill Agrippa.
You're goddamn right I did.
Yeah, so what he did with the ashes is he baked them into cookies and took them to school and fed them to the kids.
No, that
was a girl in California. I read that story last night. High school girl in California took her grandfather's ashes, baked them into cookies, and took them to school and gave them to kids to eat.
Did he ask her to do that before he died? Probably not.
No, the ghost of the grandfather appeared to her and said, a few things I need to tell you. Blessed are the meek. Meek shall inherit the earth. Can you take my ashes and bake them into cookies and take them to sister? Wait, can you just... Did you just say... Because I'm pretty sure I heard you say...
any particular type of cookies, Grandpa?
Yeah, do you want me to mix some weed oil in there, Grandpa? What's going on? Yeah, he stole the ashes, Clemens. Cassius Dio writes, the same year, a certain Clemens who had been a slave of Agrippa and resembled him to a certain extent. That's key plot point here, folks. He resembled him. Because I don't know about you, Ray, but when I am at the slave market, picking my slaves, I'm always looking for the ones that look like me or George Clooney. I mean, much hard to tell us apart.
Does it turn you on when you find a slave that looks like you?
That's partly it. I'll be honest. Have you never wanted to see what it's like
every
to fuck yourself?
Every damn day. Yeah.
You grab a little bit of the ass cheek and you go, oh yeah, that's what my ass feels like. And you just
tell Heather, you lucky girl.
You slide into a bit of a kiss and you're like, I just wonder what I kiss like. It's not gay.
No,
if you're doing it to yourself.
Exactly. That's above gay. It's asexual.
But that's part of the reason he did it. The other part was if somebody ever came to kill him, they might kill the slaves instead by mistake.
Kill him. Yeah.
So it was clever on many different levels. And, if your wife is like, it's that night of the month where we're due to have legally prescribed sexual intercourse. And you've already slept with like three hookers that day. I got in all sorts of trouble yesterday. My mother, for my birthday, bought me a full body massage at a Thai massage joint.
Oh, please tell me there's video.
So I went and got a full body massage yesterday.
Happy ending?
Stripped down to my underwear. Amazing massage. Best massage I've ever had.
Slow down. Tell it to me slowly.
And she oiled me up good, man. I was completely covered in oil. She was up on top of me at one point. I was lying on my stomach.
Sliding off.
She was sliding all over my back. It was amazing. And when I got home, Chrissy said, did you get a happy finish? And I said, do you really want to know? And she got really upset about that.
She should have started it. Yeah. She started it. Yeah.
So anyway,
you send me an email. Send me an email.
Where was I? Oh, so right. Yeah, he looked like him. He went to Gaul, Clemens, this is. He went to Gaul and won many to his cause there. Oh, no, hold on. He pretended to be Agrippa himself because he resembled him.
Right.
He went to Gaul and won many to his cause there and many later in Italy. He rock up and he go, who are you? Oh, I'm Agrippa. What? I heard he was dead. No, let me pull out. Well, your head's not on any coins because you've never been in a position of power.
It would look like this.
I do have like an engraving of Agrippa's family. When you were young. Let's go to the Areopagus in Rome. Look, here's a sketch I did of the Areopagus. Look, that's me there.
Right.
That's just like a young boy. But you can tell, right? Look, he's got a nose. I've got a nose. He's got an ear.
Ears.
Yeah. I've got an ear.
Yeah.
Now, anyway.
I had read that, yeah, so at some point, I don't know exactly when this is in the timeline.
I'm not finished.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
Just fucking hold your horses. I take a long time to get through these quotes. He won many to his cause in Gaul and later in Italy. Finally, he marched upon Rome with the avowed intention of recovering the dominion of his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on a second here. Who was the slave's grandfather?
Right.
I assume he means the intention of recovering the dominion of the guy he was pretending to be's grandfather.
Yes.
Not the slave's grandfather.
Mm. Right, who had little. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. The population, yeah. He says, I am here to reclaim the dominion of my grandfather. They go, well, your Clement's a slave, right? Well, your grandfather was a slave. He was a slave in this house. All right, I guess
he had
you,
nothing.
This is his master. You're his master. Yeah. He's your master now.
Here's your toilet.
The population of the city became excited at this, mm-hmm. and not a few joined his cause.
Oh,
but
shit.
Tiberius got him into his hands by a ruse with the aid of some persons who pretended to sympathize with this upstart. He thereupon tortured him in order to learn something about his fellow conspirators. Are you telling me to stop?
Well, I just love the story that so he grows out his hair and he grows out his beard, so he tries to resemble Agrippa, or in this case, Jesus, because he has risen from the dead. But no, so when I just thought it was funny that when Tiberius heard about this, he turns to the man who supposedly had killed him in the first place, Sallustius Crispus. And he says, look, one way or the other, this is your mess because I thought you'd killed him. Not that I gave you the order. Remember that I did not, but this is your mess. And so he's the one who sends the guys to pretend to join Clemens's cause, absconds with him, kidnaps him, brings him back before Tiberius. And now we're back up to where you were. I just thought that was fascinating about the guy who supposedly killed him in the first place had to once again, for Tiberius, try to figure out what's going on and take care of this problem.
People said to Clemens, "Like I thought you were dead, Agrippa." He said, "Well, I've risen from the dead. That's why I'm posthumous. I'm Agrippa, who's risen from the dead.
Boom, boom.
I am the Lord and Savior, Agrippa."
That makes sense, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Crispus's guys were torturing him, or Thibaut was torturing him. It says here, then when the they were torturing Clemens to try and get him to talk about if there are any other conspirators involved, I guess. When they asked him, how did you come to be Agrippa? He replied, in the same way you came to be Caesar.
Oh, snap. Oh.
Is it though? Like, what does that even mean?
No, I think about it now.
Because what, your father bequeathed it to you? Well, no. Yeah. I mean,
did you kill him?
The Senate? No. The Senate confirmed the title of Agrippa upon you? Well, no. But, it sounds snap.
It does. It's got snap quality.
It's a bit like, it's a bit like the Jesus story. Like, it sounds snap. Until you think about it for a second, you go, hold on.
Hold on.
That doesn't even make any sense. What are you talking about?
After a couple of hours of torture, it's not a bad comeback. It's almost decent considering he was probably bleeding out. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like an Archer comeback when Archer's being tortured.
Well, if you can say something to someone right before you die and you make them think for weeks and weeks and weeks afterwards, you're fucking with them. You won.
Tiberius said, how did you come to be Agrippa? And Clemens was like, oh, I had something for this. Hold on. Just wait. Oh, just stop it with the electrodes on the balls for a second, will you?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. In the same way as you came to be Caesar.
Oh.
And Tiberius stopped and he looks at the other guys in the room. He's like, did any of you understand that? No, like,
can you?
No. What did you say? Can you say that again? Yeah, in the same way as you came, but that doesn't even. Well, look, I'm being tortured. It's the best I can do. What do you expect?
I didn't prepare anything. I really thought I was going to get away with this. So sue me.
So Clemens was quietly executed Tiberius thought it best to just hush up the whole affair.
Right.
No inquiry was held, even though many distinguished persons were said to be implicated.
Oh.
Because they jumped on board and were like, yeah, Agrippa, baby. We're on the Agrippa train. Team Agrippa. What?
Yeah.
And so, then they were like, oh, he was fake? Oh, fuck it.
Oh. So let me ask you this. So there's this guy pretending to be Agrippa, gets a whole bunch of people all worked up, excited. Even if you don't agree with him, you know about it now. He goes to Ostia. He disappears, never to be seen again. Okay. What? No, I'm talking about Agrippa. So everybody knows about him. He goes to Ostia. He's got some people with him and some other, and for the people that aren't with him, at least they know that there's some guy going around saying, hey, I'm Agrippa. And then suddenly he disappears, never to be seen again.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The slave disappears, gets hushed up. People are like, yeah, well, they probably just figured he'd gone to Argentina with Elvis and Hitler and Marilyn. And he's and Andy Kaufman. And
right. Hello,
Kaufman.
Everybody. Right.
And they're just waiting for his return one day.
Right. Okay. Right.
I'm still convinced that Andy Kaufman is really Donald Trump, that this is...
he's the greatest gag.
He's going to serve out two terms, and then he's going to pull the mask off.
And Melania's going to go, thank God, because I thought I was married to a real dick. Yeah. So, but the point is, Tiberius does have stuff going on. It's not on fighting German level drama, but it is something, and he is dealing with it. He is in his mid to late 50s. I'm sure he's tired of this shit already.
By the way, before we move on from Clemens, I want to give a shout out to listener Craig Henderson.
Uh-huh.
Craig Henderson sent me an email a couple of weeks ago. He says, hi, Cameron. I don't know if you remember me, but I was the bloke who couldn't make it to your Sydney Smoko last year.
Right.
Now, first point there, Craig, is I don't even remember the people who did come to the Sydney Smoko.
And we were hugging them and kissing, talking to them.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's all gone.
All gone. So if you think we're going to remember the people who didn't come to the Sydney Smoko. I don't know but anyway.
Anyway,
I just finished watching Granada's The Caesars, episode one. It's the thing that we use in the intro, that old show from the 60s.
60s, yeah.
And in the credits, the character Clemens is played by an actor called Barry Stanton. Barry and Stanton. So obviously, when Barry and Stan weren't coming up with advertising slogans, they merged. They had the power, a bit like the Power Rangers in a way. They had the ability to merge into a single form.
Right. A powerful
and,
being.
And become actors to play Clemens. Right.
That's bad.
Barry Stanton. So fucking good pickup, Craig Henderson.
I wish we'd met you. Yeah.
We still wouldn't remember you, but...
No, but I wish we'd still met you.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you know, still would have been
clever. Right.
Would have been a story. Better story. Yeah. A story. Anywho.
Yeah.
So that's the story of Clemens.
Right.
Meanwhile, back in Germany...
Yeah. Germanicus finally comes home. And I think we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, but nobody was sent in his place because it would look bad. It would look like Tiberius doesn't trust him. They certainly don't send Drusus to Germany because, again, like Tiberius said, the war is pretty much over. And if we leave the Germans alone, they'll probably go back to just fighting amongst each other, which is exactly what they do. So Germanicus is back. He's going to do a second consulship. We've got to come up with something for Drusus to do because he's pretty much been laying low, all hookers and coke living in Rome for him. It's time for him to be with the men, to be with the military, to get some hair on his balls, if you will, and to get out there. So one day, maybe if something happens to Germanicus, Drusus can take over.
Well, yeah, let's
wishful thinking. That's wishful thinking.
let's not skip forward too much there.
No. I'm just saying, as a father, wouldn't you want your son to follow you versus someone who is only your son legally? This has nothing to do with predicting the future. This is just a father's feelings. Like, I got to get my son out there because I need him to have an army loyal to him.
How old is Drusus at this juncture?
Is he in his late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah, he's born in 14, so if we're talking 17, he's about 30.
Yeah, but it's all pretty much been hookers and coke.
Yes. And how old's Germanicus?
Is he a couple years older? Just like a few years older?
1 year older, basically.
1 year older.
He was born at 15, so...
But in the last 3 years, he's grown up.
He's had some things to do, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to Germany, so Tiberius's prophecy about the Germans fighting each other had come true. Two Suebian tribes, the Semnones and the Langobardi...
Nice.
Do you want to remind everyone what the Langobardi means?
No, because I don't know.
No, we talked about it. Long beards.
Oh, shit.
The Langobardi were the long beards. They had defected from Maroboduus's empire and gone over to Arminius. Good old Bodacious.
Oh, shit. Remember Bodacious? Yes, Bodacious. Yeah.
Now, it was six months ago when we talked about Bodacious.
Right. He's in
back
trouble.
Back in Augustus 92. Such simpler times back in Augustus 92. It
really was.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the guy that has a man bun, and I said at the time, not sure I could take orders from a guy wearing a man bun. Just couldn't. So they give me an order. I'd just be looking at the man bun. He go, did you hear me? Okay, sorry, I can't.
I can't hear you over the man bun. Could you fucking do something? A hat, something.
Exactly. Put a hat on. We're fine. Yeah. As long as I can't see the man bun, I just can't take you seriously with a man bun. Can't take anybody with a man bun seriously.
Let me hold up my finger so I can't see your face. Okay, go ahead. Give me an order.
Yeah. Back in 6 CE, Bodacious had been DP'd by Tibo and Ringo, a.k.a. Saturninus, wore a lot of gold rings. We called him Ringo. Tibo and Ringo had DP'd him, but then I had to do a quick peace deal.
Right.
Because when you DP someone, it's over pretty quickly. I don't know if you've ever found that.
It is for me because I get excited. But anyway.
You have to go home. Sorry, I need to leave. I think we crossed swords there for a second. I can't look in the eye. I hate to enter and run,
but I got to go.
They had to do a quick peace deal with Bodacious because Tibo needed to go deal with the rebellion in the east. The peace must have held because here we are 10 years later, and he's obviously an ally of Rome, Bodacious.
I think Bodacious knows which side his bread is buttered. Look, I can slowly take advantage of local events with other Germans, or I could lose it all and go fuck with Rome. Arminius is like an aberration. What's the word I'm looking for? What Arminius has been able to do is rare. I'm not him. I'm not going to fuck with these guys. I'm going to stay loyal. And it has worked out for him so far.
You only want to get DP'd by Rome once. I mean,
No, there's no such thing as DP 2.
You got to try it at least once, a DP. But he's done it. He's had it.
List. It's done.
He's done it. It's like, look, it was okay. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. It was quick. You pulled out. You left fairly quickly. My feelings were a little bit hurt, but that's okay. Aww. I understand. It was awkward for all of us. But we don't need to do it again. That's okay. We've got that memory now.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
It's obvious he's an ally of Rome now because after Arminius steals two of his allies,
right?
One of Arminius's main guys, his uncle, Inglorious Bastard, Inguimerus, goes over to Bodacious.
Ooh. He's tired of taking his shit from his nephew. Yeah.
It's on, bitches. And they fight a battle. It's undecided. And Bodacious calls for help from Rome.
Was there, I just have to ask, during the battle, was there any ambushes, people coming out of the forest? Did they try to do it to each other, and then they just looked at each other awkwardly? No, I was going to do it. Oh, you did it too. Oh, well, this is awkward. Yeah.
They both tried to lead them into a trap in the forest.
Follow me. No, you follow me. No, you follow me. Oh, yeah. Fuck. And they just stared at each other.
I promise it's not a trap. Like, we wouldn't do that to each other.
No, we just do that to the Romans. Trust me. You're good.
Bodacious calls on Rome for help. Now, Thibaut refuses to help. He says, where were you when we needed help against Herman the German?
Right, getting our ass handed to us.
And I came over with Ringo. We DP'd. I got DP'd at the Thai massage place, but... It was deep heat. I got excited. She said, "Do you want DP?" And I went, "What? Yes."
Please.
And then she pulled out a tube of deep heat, and I was like, deep heat.
Language barrier.
I thought you said something else. Actually, the language barrier was a thing. She had a very, very heavy Thai accent, this girl. And I was a little bit concerned that she might say, you want happy fish? And I might have mistook it for...
I love happy fish.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Finish. Look, happy fish in the tank. Yeah.
Translation errors. Come home and say to my wife, yes, listen, I got a happy finish, but don't be upset because I thought I was getting happy fish. Yeah. What is happy fish? I don't know, but... I
figured that was okay.
I've been to places in Thailand before where they have the fish foot baths and the fish nibble at your feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. I had one of that done in Bangkok. No, it was Malaysia. Okay, it wasn't Bangkok. It was Malaysia I had that done. But anyway, those fish looked pretty happy. I thought maybe that's what it was going to be, a fish bath. Next thing I know, she's giving me a hand job, and I thought...
You don't want to upset anybody who's got their hands wrapped around your...
I had a cloth over my eyes. I thought maybe satin? It was a fish.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Mum. So, my mum... I told you my mum bought me the voucher for this.
She is kinky.
I sent my mum a text message later that day going, I had a really great massage today. My mum's reply was... Did you get a happy finish?
Yeah, it sounds like her. Oh, my God.
That's my 71-year-old mother, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Who was trained
by nuns, went to a Catholic school where she was brought up by nuns.
We got into an argument. I won, and she resorted to violence and hit me on my shoulder.
Anyway. Did you get a happy finish? My mother asked.
Class act.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree in the Riley family, I got to tell you. So I'm having a conversation with Taylor over a coffee yesterday. He's one of my twin boys. He's just turned 18 a week ago. Yeah. And he's got a girlfriend that he's not calling a girlfriend. And I said, so where were you yesterday? He goes, I went to Ivy's house. I said, oh, yeah. I saw him when he was leaving. It's 5:30. I said, "What time did you get home?" He said, 11 o'clock. I go, "Really? What were you doing at Ivy's house for 5.5 hours?" He said, "Playing Jenga." I said, "What, on a tits?"
You better be lying. See, when you're 18, you could do that for 5 hours.
On a tits.
Did you high-five yourself?
He said, you're so immature. I did. I looked for you to high-five you. I looked around. Where's Ray? Oh, shit.
I was there in spirit.
I love it now that my kids are adults. I can be inappropriate, and it's okay now. It's fine. The child services can't do anything about it.
Release the hounds. Yeah, just go for it. Yeah.
I had to have the birds and the bees conversation with Fox.
Oh, really?
Yesterday. Yeah, well, it's kind of weird. Like I took him to a play center and he scraped some skin off his knee and off his forehead. So we went back to the car and I have the medicine kit in the back of the car and I was putting some Band-Aids on him. And he said, that's a really good medicine kit, Dad. When did you make that? And I said, oh, dude, that's been there since before your time. He goes, when I was an egg in Mummy's tummy. Ooh. And I said, well, technically you were, half of you was an egg in Mummy's tummy and the other half of you was a sperm in my balls.
You couldn't just say, yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, Daddy, are you joking? I said, no, that's how babies are made. The daddy puts... Daddy puts the sperm, which is like a little egg with a tail, into the mummy's tummy, and then the two bits join up and they make a baby. He said, well, how did you put it in mummy's tummy? I said, well, I stuck my penis in mummy. And he said, did it hurt when you put your penis in mummy's tummy? I said, well, I didn't. It's not like it went in a belly button or something. I didn't keep pushing until I broke a hole in there. I put it in her vagina. Penis and goes into the vagina. That's what penises and vaginas are for. And he was like, okay. And then changed the subject to Fruit Ninja or something. Did you know on Fruit Ninja you got the bomb and you can't slash the bomb? I was like, okay.
Good job, Fox. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Can't wait till he goes to Kindy next week. And
tells everybody.
He has been asking us recently if he can have a baby. So he's probably going to go up to one of the girls and go, can I put my penis in your vagina when you make a baby?
We'll share it, I promise.
Anyway.
Yeah. So Maribodacious, he's got the uncle. But now, so obviously he's in a weakened position. So he pulls back to the center of his lands, the Forest of Bohemia. And that's, like you were saying a minute ago, that's when he asks Rome for help. And to which Tiberius says something in the equivalent of, fuck off, you weren't there for me. I damn sure aren't going to be there for you.
Where did he pull back to?
I read the center of his lands, the forests of Bohemia.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
That's what he said when he was there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, so he calls for help from Rome. Thibaut says, where were you when we needed help against Termin?
Right.
Not only did Thibaut not send help.
Right.
He actually sent Drusus to hasten Bodacious's downfall.
Ooh.
Drusus.
That's badass.
Well, it's a bit of a dick move. Like, 10 years ago they DP'd, but
he's still a German. And he's going to be, you've got to think of the Germans as opportunistic, just like everyone else. If you got a chance to take him out, take him out.
Yeah, well, apparently Drusus pulled up this guy called Catualda. He had been a member of the Marcomanni nobility.
Ooh.
Bodacious's tribe. Had run away for some reason, must have had a falling out, probably from a rival branch of the Marcomanni royalty. Now that they see Bodacious is weakened, they decide they're going to send in Catualda with a large force supported by Drusus in some fashion, and he storms Bodacious's royal stronghold.
Oh, shit.
Bodacious escapes and begs Thibaut for refuge, which is granted. And he lives in Ravenna, half in refuge, half as sort of as a prisoner.
Right.
For the next 22 years until his death.
That's got to be hard for a German who's only known freedom and leadership, but being in an asylum in whatever capacity has got to be better than being killed and tortured by your fellow Germans or Romans. It doesn't really matter. So, yeah, I'll take 22 years of chillaxing versus being brutally murdered. So it could have ended worse. Yeah.
He was in an asylum?
No, what I read, he sought asylum. You can call it whatever you want, but basically he was under protective custody in Ravenna for 22 years. But so he is protected, but at the same time, Rome is now being protected from him. So it works out to everybody's advantage.
The California air. Your nightgown on the stair. I remember every night. Scenes from home in the quiet room. To kill the love and all those Polaroids you sent are on the wall in the quiet room. They've got this place where they've been keeping me, where I can't hurt myself, I can't get my wrist to bleed. Just don't know why suicide appeals to me. The quiet room is sterilized and white. It's like a tomb with just a moth stained naked light.
Oh, when he's in the quiet room?
Sure. So, yeah.
When he's in an asylum?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to guess who that was?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Who was it?
Not telling.
You're not hurting me. You're not.
No. If you can't tell who that was, I'm not telling you. It's just, you know. Just,
all right.
After all these years working together, you don't know that. You don't know who that voice is. I don't know what to do.
No, it sounded familiar, but that's all I got.
So Thibault's pretty pleased about getting rid of Bodacious, and he gives a big speech.
Yes.
Where he says, Bodacious was as dangerous to Rome as Pyrrhus.
Ooh.
Now, this sounds like a little bit of a Donald Trump speech to me. Bodacious
right.
had been at peace with Rome for 10 years, as far as we can tell.
Right.
But didn't form an alliance with Arminius, just sat on the sidelines. A little bit of post-hoc. justification here from Timo, I think.
But Bodacious was using his relative peace to the south to gain territory in the north. Maybe one day after he'd gotten big enough, or maybe he was waiting for Arminius to be defeated by Rome, he would have caused trouble. But again, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like Tiberius can turn his back on any of these Germans. I'm married to a German. You don't fucking turn your back on him. That's just the way it is. And so Tiberius is right to celebrate this, but I think you're right. He's not on the level of Pyrrhus. But again, his son was involved, so he's just saying this to make his son look good.
Yeah. Well, they, as you said, I think this is realpolitik. They just got rid of one German king and replaced him with somebody who they believe is friendlier, I guess.
right.
Now, once the threat of the Romans and Bodacious has been removed, Arminius makes a play again for supreme power over Ooh. All of the German tribes.
What's his justification?
I can, and so therefore I will.
Germanicus has backed off. Bodacious is gone. So, I mean, I'm sure there's other German tribes, but the immediate threat that used to be there no longer is. I'm just saying, I mean, yeah, he wants to be the leader. Why wouldn't he? But he doesn't have the excuse that he did before.
Well, I'm guessing his excuse is a little bit like Stalin's reasoning in the early 30s. It's like, look, they're going to come back. Instead of Stalin saying the Germans will be back, it's the Germans saying, look, the Italians will be back. The Romans are going to come back. They're not going to forget about us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're greedy, rapacious motherfuckers. They're going to want to come and take our land. And they don't send us their best people. They're sending us their rapists and their murderers.
I'm sure some few are good.
Yeah. We need to unite and we need to build a wall.
Right.
And we'll put it right through the middle of Berlin. And they're like, it's a bit soon.
Yeah.
Let Khrushchev worry about it. We don't have to later on. So a leader of the chatty Agendestrius
right.
Wrote a letter to the Senate.
I love this.
Where he openly offered to poison Arminius, but he said, we're all out of poison here in Germany.
Fresh out.
We can't, trust me, we had supplies, poison supplies, but we've just used it all up. You know what it's like.
I'm admitted.
Once you start poisoning, it's hard to stop poisoning.
Yeah.
It's such retaliatory, so much fun poisoning people.
Poison. Exactly. First it poison, started out poison, as a gag.
Poison. That's all we ever do. So we've run out of poison. But if you can send poison from Rome.
With a receipt.
We will poison Arminius for you.
Where does that rank for you on a scale from 1 to 10 on the bullshit meter?
Pretty high, this does. I have no idea what's going on here. I assume the Germans knew how to make their own fucking poisons.
Or just run them through with a sword, but sure.
Exactly, yeah, right? So...
I mean, they are Germans.
Maybe he had good protection. Maybe he just wanted to get the Romans to confirm in writing that they wanted to poison him so he could take it to Arminius. Or take it to others and say, look, the Romans want him poisoned. So if the Romans don't like him, maybe we should get rid of him and put an end to all of this.
I thought you were going to say that maybe if they did write something out and Arminius got a hold of it, he could then say to people, look, they are coming after us just like I told you. And they're coming at me. We need to organize so we can take these guys on. But either way, it would have implicated Rome in some fashion. And it just would have caused a whole bunch of trouble for Rome. And like we said a couple of episodes ago, we don't need Germany. We don't need to be sticking it in Germany all the time. Let's stick it somewhere else every once in a while.
You just reminded me of something. I'm reading this biography on Che Guevara, and there was an incident after the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Right.
It failed. For the kids who don't know the story, in the early 60s, the United States tried to invade Cuba. The invasion was defeated by Castro. And afterwards, Che was... at a meeting of the OAS, the Organization of Latin American States, South American States, I think it was in Brazil or somewhere like that, and JFK's private secretary was there, and Che organized a private meeting with him because Castro and Che were trying to figure out a way of forming some sort of peace deal with the US at this point. Like, just fucking... let's all get along, you know, we won't invade you, you don't invade us, just take away the sanctions, the missiles are gone, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, apparently Che said to Kennedy's secretary, I want you to give a message to Kennedy, President Kennedy, from us, thank you. Thank you for the Bay of Pigs, or player Giron, as they call it. Thank you. He said, before that, the revolution was struggling because we were telling people the Americans are going to come and invade. And people were like, what? You're crazy. The Americans aren't ever going to try and invade. Yeah. You're mad. You're just making it up. And now we're stronger than ever. Right. So because you proved us right. So thank you for that. You made the revolution stronger. Oh so maybe God. That's what Arminius was trying to do. You're right. He was trying to get proof that the Romans were trying to assassinate him like the Americans tried to assassinate Castro 731 times. And I'm not even making that number up. It's the real official CIA number of attempted assassination attempts on Castro. 731. That were plans. Not all of those plans actually made it to...
paranoid much?
Execution stage. Yeah. A lot of them did.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't. But they, the craziest ideas they came up with.
What if it was your job to come to a cubicle every day and for the next 5 to 10 years, you're just going to think up different ways to try to kill somebody? It's not going to be implemented or you'll never know. But the point is, your job is to just come up with a couple of ideas each day, pass them on to your superior, and just do that for the next 10 years.
Put them on your TPS report, fill them out in triplicate.
I'm looking for motivation. It's been day 432. I'm looking for inspiration and motivation. Could someone, anyway?
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out. Did you see the memo about this?
Yeah, I have the memo right here. I just forgot. But it's not shipping out till tomorrow, so there's no problem.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great. And I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
Yeah, no, I have the memo. I've got it. It's right.
Hello, Phil. What's happening?
Yeah,
Dick. That's how it went down. Yeah,
it's how it went down about the assassination attempts.
Before we go on, because I know you're about to wrap up soon, but I just again want to point out that Tiberius was right. So not only after Mara Bodacious gets taken down, the man who takes him down, Cat Twalda, I don't even know how to say his name, he gets taken down by another tribe, and then that person gets taken down by another tribe. So they're going back to the way they were. Everybody's fighting everybody, and this works out for Tiberius because he's going to have issues elsewhere. But again, his experience in Germany paid off. He's able to get Germanicus out of there to reduce that tension between these two. So again, they're just going back to the ways that they were.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, but
I'm done.
Didn't finish the poisoning story. The poisoning story, right?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
What was Rome's response to the P.S. Please send poison message?
Oh, I just assumed they said thank you, no thank you, we're good here.
Don't assume. You're a historian, Ray. Your job is not to just make shit up and go, well, you're supposed to get your learning from books, Ray.
Oh.
Not just,
Oh,
I just figured they would say something like this and, you know.
The Senate rejected the request.
That's it? You're guessing?
They sensed it was a trap. They rejected it.
Tacitus says the reply was that it was not by secret treachery, but openly and by arms that the people of Rome avenged themselves on their enemies.
Damn right. We're not bitches.
But there was a civil war, and Arminius eventually was killed.
Aww.
About 21 CE in a plot hatched by his own people.
See, pushed it too far.
Tacitus writes, assuredly, he was the deliverer of Germany. One, too, who had defied Rome, not in her early rise, as other kings and generals, but in the height of her empire's glory, had fought, indeed, indecisive battles, yet in war remained unconquered. He completed 37 years of life, 12 years of power, and he is still a theme of song among barbarous nations. Though to Greek historians who admire only their own achievements, he is unknown. And to Romans, not as famous as he should be, right, while we extol the past and are indifferent to our own times.
Nice. That guy can write. That son of a bitch can write.
He can fucking write, can't he, Tacitus?
Yeah.
Holy shit, he can write.
Yeah. He had an agenda like everyone else, but he could write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drusus's achievements in supporting Catwalda were rewarded with the voting of an ovation by the Senate.
Yes.
Probably happened around the spring of 19. And a triumphal arch was built with images of Germanicus and Drusus beside the Shirley Temple of Mars Ulta.
Right. Nice. So Drusus has finally got off his ass. They had to find him in a big pile of coke and hookers, but he's doing something now. He's learning something, which is what Augustus wanted. Get the young ones out there, get them some experience, because one day, whether we like it or not, they're going to be running this shit. Let's get them involved and let's get them some experience. And now it's actually happening.
I believe the children of the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that possess inside.
Nice. We nailed it.
Yeah. And then problems arose in the East.
Oh, shit. So much for a break.
Yeah. I think we'll leave that till next time, though. The problems in the East. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've conquered the silk underwear problem. Let's leave the East until next time.
There's only so many problems you can deal with at any given time. Got another review. This one's from Frank Rizzo 89 in Canada, of all places.
He's probably high right now.
Yeah, the country that just legalized pot this week.
Yeah.
He says, and by the way, Canadians, feel free to send us pot. I don't know how you would do that.
Send it to my wife's name.
Like it's, I don't know, just send us pot. Like it's okay.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Frank Rizzo writes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I fell on this podcast, hope you didn't hurt yourself, through the history of World War II by Ray. I've been listening to the Life of Caesar and World War II podcast for 2 years now. All I have to say is, oh my God. I listen to the Caesar podcast while I do renovations and have busted a nut laughing quite a few times. It's an easy listen, great format of two guys shooting the shit, but very well researched and detailed. You will not be bored listening to this. Believe me, I have no idea how they manage to get so much research done for all the podcasts they have going. I can't imagine all the reading they have to do. When I was doing my bachelor's in history, I used to joke that I had to read even while taking a shit because I had so much of it. Shit or reading? I'm not quite sure there. Which,
Let's assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did I just offend you? Well, if you have sensitive ears, this is not the podcast for you. I really thought I'd heard it all until Cam started talking about Jesus milk. Yes, Jesus milk. It was one of the funniest moments of this podcast so far. I don't even remember Jesus milk. Do you remember Jesus milk?
No, I don't. Which is even funnier. I don't even remember.
Hunter suggested to me yesterday that we need to create a guide to all of the nicknames and gags that we've made.
Oh, my God.
Because he said, if you start, he goes, you listen and you make these, and it's obviously an in joke, and I don't know where it came from or what it means or who you're talking about. And I said, yeah, I don't even either. I don't remember.
We're just winging it.
Half of the shit that we said on this show. Jesus milk. Somebody, Frank Rizzo, tell us, remind us what Jesus milk is about.
Yeah, please.
I don't know what that was about. Keep up the great work, you men children. You guys are friggin' awesome. I highly recommend this to anybody wanting to learn about Caesar and Augustus. Thank you, Frank Rizzo. Send us email with your deets, the place that you're renovating.
Yeah,
and a key. We'll send you some Jesus milk.
Right.
that's the show. We'll be back next week with... Oh, big problems in the East.
Yeah.
Things are getting dicey.
Right.
For Germanicus.
But that's okay. Ooh.
I'm sure he's got this. I'm sure it's all going to be okay. Nothing bad could ever happen.
This is Rome.
To Germanicus.
Exactly.
It's Rome. Bad things don't happen to good people in Rome.
Send messages to Rome, saying that Augustus is dead.